It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hello, my friends. Jules here for WhatCulture.com. And today I want to talk to you about failure, about video games that thought themselves to be the biggest cock of the walk but ended up shriveling under the spotlights of criticism, and about the times when just being a large lad with a wad of cash couldn't save these titles from belly flopping hard. I'm Jules, this is WhatCulture.com, and these are 10 video games too big to fail that did anyway. Number 10, Mass Effect Andromeda. When Andromeda was announced, people quite literally moistened themselves at the thought of another incredible intergalactic space opera title, as despite the mixed reaction on the ending, the Mass Effect trilogy had grown to be one of the best received and biggest selling of all time. And when Andromeda's first screens came out, it actually looked brilliant. Then my face got tired. EA rather foolishly allowed players to try the game a week early on EA/Origin Access, when it immediately became clear that the new dev team BioWare Montreal was in way, way, way over their heads. Players reported embarrassingly bad character animations right out of the gate, not to mention a wealth of bugs and a depressingly repetitive core gameplay loop. Stories emerged of the issues in development and the difficulties of moving everything to the Frostbite 3 engine, but the damage had been done. With videos detailing all of its flaws hitting millions of views and EA being cagey with releasing sales figures for the game, it's been widely accepted by the industry that Andromeda likely underperformed significantly compared to previous entries in the series, making a minor profit at best. Number 9. E.T. the Extraterrestrial. A video game based around a colossal hit movie? What could go wrong? Well, as much as video game movies have got a sour reputation nowadays, back in 1982 there wasn't even a lingering doubt that E.T. for the Atari 2600 would be anything less than a stonking hit. With Spielberg's property and a Christmas release date, this was almost a foolproof plan. But more fool us, right? Designer Howard Scott Warshaw was given just 5 weeks to build the game from scratch to meet a brutal production deadline. 5 weeks. No wonder it was released with about as much depth as a tea coaster. Actually, as a tea coaster, it would have been much more useful, as this game was hot garbage and actually became it too, thanks to the now infamous burial site of all these unsold cartridges. According to reports, the blunder caused Atari $536 million in losses in 1983 and $1.3 billion loss in stock market valuation, with this game becoming the catalyst, or one of the biggest ones, for the infamous video game crash of 1983-85, where the industry lost 97% of its value. Oof. Number 8. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Now, no word of a lie, I was genuinely gutted when Infinite came out and sucked as much as it did, because I'm a huge fan of the franchise all the way back to the heady days of my youth. But the issues with Infinite were, well, nearly infinite themselves, as the game had a lackluster roster with all of the X-Men and Fantastic Four stripped out, a low-budget look, and a gem system that seemed way more gimmicky than game-changing. The devs told us that this would be another mainstay on the pro gaming circuit, but with middling reviews, fans simply just voted with their wallets, resulting in Infinite selling just half of Capcom's initial projections. The publisher itself deemed the commercial performance weak, and then cut support of the title entirely. There were even rumors that both companies are going to be making a new game and call it Marvel vs. Capcom 4, completely writing Infinite out of existence. Oof, medium oof. Number 7. Superman 64. On paper, Superman 64 had so much going for it. It was the first Superman game for the N64 for a start, and was the first ever 3D Superman game, period. The Man of Steel on Nintendo's new hardware, surely it was going to be a smash hit. Well, add an S to the front of hit and you'll be closer to the mark. From incredible micromanaging from the parent companies of DC and Warner Brothers to a 6-month delay in production, this game was like terminal illness on a cartridge. It ruined any hopes for Superman on the 64 and also caused developer Titus Interactive to eventually go out of business, with other companies not keen to work with them after this debacle, which is entirely unfair seeing as only 10% of their ideas made it into the game thanks to DC and Warner Brothers being overprotective with the license. Number 6. Daikatana. John Romero's about to make you his bitch. I mean, what a marketing campaign, right? For all the wrong reasons, anyone who was anyone knew about Daikatana in the late 1990s. And with this amount of intrigue and the success of Doom behind him, surely things were going to go well for Daikatana, right? Oh dear, what do we have here? Well, first off, the game was 2.5 years late to the party, missing its 1997 Christmas release. Then the game switched engines mid-production, and as more and more unremarkable screens came out featuring the game, eventually public opinion soured. Consequently, the game was a huge flop at retail, resulting in the closure of developer Ion Storm's lavish Dallas office. Romero's career never really fully recovered, and today Daikatana remains a fascinating test case for how dangerous personality-driven games development can truly be. Roblox medium oof slowed slightly down.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Number 5. Pac-Man, Atari 2600. Everybody knows Pac-Man, and just about everybody loves Pac-Man, even when he got all gangly on that one hideous box art. Ugh, what's going on there? Gross, get it out of my face. So how could you not love the idea of him jumping from the arcade to the home console in 1982? Surely it is that simple. Oh no! Programmer Todd Fry was given no arcade specs to make porting the game to a home console easier and had to recreate the entire thing from scratch and had to downgrade tons of its features because of the limited hardware available. Features such as having ghosts actually stay on screen. Yes, it was that bad. But Atari, being Atari, ordered 12 million cartridges to be manufactured, far in excess of the 10 million console owners at the time. That makes sense, right? Oh no, wait, it doesn't. Still, the game sold well because everyone loved the little pellet muncher, and it even became the best-selling Atari 2600 game of all time. However, the returns and the complaints that came after mean that this is widely accepted to be the precursor to the video game crash of the 80s that E.T. fully kicked off. Oof! Number 4. Anthem. Anthem has been called a disappointment by its owners and a failure by players. There have been talks of Anthem making $100 million digitally since release, but given that EA wanted this to be their Destiny, which generated $325 million of revenue in its first 5 days, might not be enough for them to consider this a success. The game released a month early for those that pre-ordered the title, but the problem soon became apparent that by the time this month had ended, people had seen and done all there was to, well, see and do in EA's franchise. Number 3. Spore. There was almost monolithic hype when Maxis, the makers of The Sims, announced that they were making another God game, this time focusing on developing a civilization starting from a microscopic organism, which was all procedurally generated. I mean, how could this not be great? A game that shows you what it's like to go from sperm to worm holes in a single playthrough? Sign me up! Well, the problems began early on, and it took 8 years for the game to come to fruition, and so much changed that it hardly resembles the original pitch. The end result was a shockingly hollow and superficial game compared to what was initially promised, and all of those deep evolutionary sections basically boiled down to mini-games. Spore reviewed fairly well though, however sales stagnated 2 months after launch at around 2.8 million, after which support was faded out and a sequel was never commissioned. Now remember, this was meant to take the world by storm, to be as big if not bigger than The Sims. However, it seems to have been an evolutionary dead end for Maxis. Large oof. Number 2. Fallout 76. After spawning a parody-inducing level of Skyrim editions on different platforms, Bethesda finally decided that it was time to move back to Fallout the only way it knew how, by completely changing everything that fans had grown to love about the series. I kid, as the hype was very, very real for a fully multiplayer Fallout installment. Things were all set to be a surefire winner. However, what fans got was a game with virtually no story, a total absence of human NPCs, painfully janky, bug-filled gameplay courtesy of the underqualified creation engine, and a disconnected multiplayer experience. It was panned hard. The game received meta scores in the low 40s and early 50s, which is an embarrassingly low number for a AAA publisher as high caliber as Bethesda, severely denting its commercial performance. Now, if you want a real evaluation of its failure, just look at how quickly prices were slashed on the game as Bethesda desperately wanted to shift units. This is an oof of large proportion, slowed down by 50%. Yeah. That's pretty bad. And number 1, Too Human. Too Human was an epic action RPG from developers Silicon Knight, who hyped the game to unprecedented levels, detailing it to be the next big thing and was even going to be the start of a trilogy of games. Yet one need only have looked at the issues surrounding development to see that this was just going to turn out badly, as Too Human began life on the PS1 in 1999, then moved to the GameCube in 2000 and ended up being released on the Xbox 360. This game has been on more units than even your mum, and carries with it a sizable urban legend style curse. Also, yes, that is my one per list. As delay followed delay, the budget ballooned to an estimated $80 million, and when it finally dropped, it sold just 700,000 units and met mediocre reviews. The plan for a trilogy was scrapped, and Silicon Knights was even sued into bankruptcy by Epic Games over an alleged illegal use of their Unreal 3 engine, the end result of which meant that all unsold copies of the game had to be destroyed. You can still buy copies online, but yeah, it was literally erased from existence in a legal sense. My friend, that is what you call the biggest oof, slowed to 25%.
imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.